Welcome to the Weekend Digital Marketing So Far. I'm your host, Joe Youngblood. It's Friday, January 17th, 2020, and we have had one heck of a week in digital marketing. We're going to dive right in and get started like we do every single week on YouTube. In YouTube news, YouTube has taken the number one spot as the most visible website in Google's organic search results, and they took that spot away from Wikipedia. This is according to the research firm Search Metrics. YouTube has added a new feature. You will now be able to see a card when you hover over or click on somebody's name in the comments section, and it will show you their recent comments that they've left on other videos by that same YouTube channel. Now let's dive in to Google. Google Search started rolling out another broad core search update on Monday. There are rumors that that has completed rolling out, but it could take up to 2 weeks to have its full impact on your website. Danny Sullivan, who's known as Google's search liaison, in a discussion with people on Twitter, said that this is obviously the first broad core search update of the year and that they do about 2 to 4 every year. Last year, they seemed to do one about each quarter. Danny also said that Google makes small changes to Google's algorithm daily. So there's a chance you're going to see swings every day or when they don't do these broad core updates. But these broad core updates, he said, are going to be done 2 to 4 times every year. Google's search results page have a new design, and the new design does not have a lot of fans, at least in the SEO and marketing community so far. In the new design, your favicon, or the icon that represents your website, shows up on the left-hand side next to your search result listing. And above the title, which used to be at the top of your search result listing, there is now the URL, or sort of a URL breadcrumb hybrid for the document on your website that's actually showing up in the listings. If you're not seeing this yet, give it a little bit of time. Some people were saying it was cached or it's just kind of rolling out, but eventually you will see this too. And tell me if you like it or not. Google Search also introduced a new search results feature this week called Popular Products. This is a little insert box that shows products related to your search, the stores where you can find it. You can click through and find all of that information when you click on the product. There's no word yet exactly how they determine what product is popular. Hopefully, we got some smart SEO people out there that'll figure that out soon. Google Ads introduced a new tool. It's a Target ROAS bid simulator. If you don't know what ROAS stands for, that's return on ad spend. Parallel tracking is here for video campaigns in Google Ads, and very, very soon it will be mandatory for you to use it. The Rich Results testing tool is adding in embedded or third-party data or elements that appear on a page. Google Search Console had a bug that resulted in a spike in unparsable structured data errors between the 13th and the 16th of January. If you noticed that spike and it was between the 13th and the 16th of January, it's probably related to this bug. You can safely ignore it. Google My Business now has a program called My Business Provider, which will allow groups that manage large volumes of small business data to help those people in their group get that data verified. Typically, this is going to be something like a chamber of commerce. So if you're a roofer or a plumber and you're a member of a chamber of commerce, don't be surprised if they reach out to you trying to get your Google My Business data verified. The reinstatement request form for a suspended Google My Business business listing was down earlier this week. Some think that it being down was probably related to the Google broad core search update that was released. Whether or not it is, I have no idea, but I can tell you that the reinstatement request form is now back online and functioning correctly. Google Chrome now has global media controls, which will allow a user to control the audio and video in every single active tab from one location.
We're on Facebook.
Facebook's new web design, the first in quite some time, is rolling out. They call this new design F5. It is very white. It's got a lot of white space and white background. It's first going to roll out to mobile users on the web, then it will roll out to desktop users on the web. So don't be shocked if you log into Facebook and you see a very, very different design. over on Instagram. Instagram's new fake information filter, which they started rolling out in December, appears to be going after digital artwork. And this is artwork that is created entirely inside of Photoshop or some similar software and then uploaded to Instagram. Instagram is now tagging these artworks, these pieces of art, as fake information, which is upsetting several artists. Instagram is testing out direct messaging on the desktop version of the website. Here we go to Reddit. The Reddit ads pixel now supports first-party cookies, which is a pretty big, pretty awesome development from the Reddit ads team. All week long, Reddit has been giving away one-word subreddits. It's what they call the groups on Reddit, if you're not familiar. Typically, these are coming because somebody established a group a long time ago and then abandoned it. Reddit's been having a contest all week long to try to get people to adopt these subreddits, take over these communities, and try to build more community engagement on the platform. Over on Pinterest, according to research firm eMarketer, Pinterest is now the third most popular social media platform in the United States, beating out Snapchat. Over on TikTok, TikTok was the second most downloaded app of 2019, according to Sensor Tower. It came just behind WhatsApp. Over on Twitter, Twitter has banned a dating app over GDPR privacy breaches. This is important because Twitter is not part of the EU's enforcement, but they say that because of the GDPR breaches, they think that this app is acting illegally, and therefore they are going to remove it from advertising. So if you're advertising in the European Union on Twitter, you need to make sure you're following GDPR. Twitter may soon release a new feature on Android called Pinned List, which would allow you to create a list and pin it at the top of your list. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey said in an interview that there will likely never ever be an edit button on Twitter, and he actually explained his reasoning. And that's because the second you make a tweet, everybody can see the tweet and retweet it. If they allowed editing, then you could change the content or the context of your tweet over time, which would change the way people see it or what their retweets meant. He said that they did think about a window of 30 seconds or a minute to allow you to edit the tweet before everything solidifies. But again, that same sort of problem keeps coming up, that people could retweet it and then you could edit it a few seconds later and you could make them say something that they didn't mean to say. Hi, Jack, if you're watching this video, which I highly doubt, but I do have an idea for you. Okay, give us an edit button, give us a 30 second to 60 second window. And then if anybody has retweeted it and we edit it, make sure you notify them and flag the tweet for them so that they can go back and make sure that it still says what they thought it said early on. We just want to be able to fix typos, man. I'm so tired of writing tweets and then having to delete them, or even worse, creating a whole thread and then you find a tweet in the middle of the thread that has a typo and you have to delete the entire freaking thread and then republish it. It really sucks. Please, I'm begging you, find a way to make this work. Totally get that you don't want to provide an avenue for disinformation on your platform, but helping us professionals that use Twitter not look stupid would be much obliged. Facebook started tweeting from a Twitter account called Facebook App, and this is really weird because it sort of looks like they might start using this account either for PR or, hold your breath, maybe even customer service. Now, they've only posted a couple of tweets so far, so we're not entirely sure what the heck this account is going to do, but it definitely smells like a PR firm is behind it. This could be a PR move on Facebook's part, or maybe eventually they're going to start offering some decent service over the Twitter platform to reply to people's concerns, or maybe, fingers crossed, help people who are actually locked out of the platform. Bonus round! Google and Amazon are two of the most trusted entities in America, according to a new survey. They beat out Tom Hanks, extreme weather advisories, teachers, and even Oprah. Among millennials and Gen Z, Google is the single most trusted entity, even beating out doctors. Huffington Post, which apparently now is called HuffPo, I don't pay attention to them, so I wasn't aware of that, is reaching out to all of the podcasts that were named to their best podcast of 2019 list and requesting that those podcasts pay $1,995 in a licensing fee so that they can use imagery associated with that accolade on their website. What's really interesting here is that this license fee is only good for 1 year, and those podcasts would probably have to continue paying the $1,995 fee if they wanted to keep telling people they were named to HuffPo's Best Podcast of 2019. Yelp announced that they're going after review rings in a new fight against fake reviews. And review rings are essentially when a bunch of users or fake accounts post reviews for businesses that they're selling online. You can actually go to Google and look it up, and you can find companies willing to sell you Yelp reviews. And a lot of these stick because people have figured out Yelp's review filter and what it looks for, and they can, for the most part, get reviews that pass through that filter and stick, either positive or negative. Now Yelp says they have a way to identify these people and these rings and these fake accounts, and they're going to start going after them and taking them offline. Mozilla laid off 70 employees this week. Microsoft, YouTube, and Facebook's efforts to poach away top streamers on Twitch appears to be paying off, and the platform looks like it's kind of reeling right now. Finally, I was included in an article on Search Engine Journal titled 10 Important 2020 Social Media Trends You Need to Know. It's a really, really good, well-written article with lots of really good advice from various experts. They even have an ebook that accompanies it with even more insights. I highly recommend you go over to searchenginejournal.com, look up the article, and check it out. That's it for the Weekend Digital Marketing So Far, the podcast edition. We had a lot of news this week, so thank you so much for sticking around and getting all the way through it with us. Really, really hope this was useful for you. If so, please share us with your friends. Talk about us on Twitter or on your Facebook page, and we'll talk to you next week.